I don't usually recommend movies, although I enjoy watching movies. As I mentioned in first service, much to the chagrin of Jane, I really enjoy watching old westerns. But Thursday night, we went to see a movie and did not know much about it. And I think we were both a little surprised by how much we enjoyed it and how beneficial we thought it was. And so I wanted to recommend it to you. And the name of the book is Wonder. The name of the movie is Wonder. There's also a book entitled Wonder. And it's a fascinating movie. And one of the things that they did that I appreciated so much was that throughout the movie, whenever you would already know about a character, but in order for you to have more background with regard to the characters, they would put their character's name on the screen. And then the next several scenes would be taking you into the heart and the mind and the thoughts of that character by giving you more details about their story and how all of those different stories mesh together in order to make this movie and to tell the story it was trying to tell. I thought it was fascinating. I couldn't help but think how much like life it is in this assembly of people, just like it was with our first assembly, and in this assembly of people, there are so many people with so many different problems, so many different heartaches, so many different struggles that every individual in here is going through, and God is aware of every single one of them. And sometimes with our struggles, and sometimes with all of the things that we go through in this life and we face in this life, we can become so overwhelmed with life here that we forget about what it's all about and what our struggle needs to be. So I wanted to talk about this morning to help all of us, because all of us need a reminder and all of us need to understand and need to ask some questions. Are you saved? How do you know that? How can you know if you are saved or not? For the questions and for the answers, we're going to the book of 1 John. Our reading this morning came from chapter 2 of 1 John, verses 12 through 14, which can be read as a song that John is writing to the men and the young men, describing to them the lives that they are living, that give them and give John confidence in them and their future destiny because of what they are doing and what they are about. If you go to the book of 1 John, when we ask the question, are you saved? I want us to go first of all to the last chapter. And that's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Then we'll come back to chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. You can learn a lot about a book by looking at the end of it and at the beginning. And John basically tells us in chapter 5 and verse 13 why he's writing this letter. It's not a very long letter. It's only 5 chapters long. And in that last chapter, he will say this: these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now look at the specific points and the specific things said in chapter 5 and verse 13. We have a tendency to read this and read it over and generalize. Generalize about ourselves and generalize about others. If we generalized it, we would read it as, I have written to you so that you can know you have eternal life. But that's not what he says. There is something specific stated. There's a specific audience in mind. And it's that specific audience that knows it can be saved. So we go back and we look at the reading again. These things I have written to you. Who's the you? Those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now that phrase, the name of the Son of God, we know is referring to Jesus. But it's not just believing facts about an individual nor facts about a name. Because the phrase, the name of the Son of God, stands for everything about him. So John, in essence, is saying, I am writing to you who believe in Jesus. And believing in Jesus is a little more detailed than sometimes we consider. It means more, again, than just having a thought about Jesus or just recognizing the name. And yeah, I believe there was somebody named Jesus that lived. It means more than that. And so he says, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, who believe in Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. Who has eternal life? Who is saved? Those who believe Jesus. Who believe him, who believe what he's done, and who believe what he said. Now, to look at that in more detail, and more specifically, let's take a journey through the book of 1 John. So we'll go back to chapter 1, and we'll start reading verses 1 through 4. The Apostle John is going to be using the term we. And he's not talking about all of us. He's not talking about Christians in general. He's talking about a very specific group of Christians. And he's going to tell the things that make this group specific. So the idea of those who are saved are larger than this group. But this group is very important to those that are being saved. So let's try to figure out as we go through who the we are. It's not going to be hard because he basically tells us. What was from the beginning? What is that? Well, when John wrote his account of Jesus' life, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what he's talking about. What was from the beginning? The Word that became flesh, which is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus, the man from Nazareth. What was from the beginning? What we have heard. Now, if you take it in a sense that we've all heard because we've all read his words, then that could be applying to everybody. But he goes further. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, that's none of us. That's not any Christians that have lived since the time Jesus was here. And really, it's not even all of those Christians that were alive in the days of the apostles. That's referring to a specific group of people, and that's the apostles. What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at, and what we have touched with our hands, this we is referring to the apostles. Concerning the word of life, we saw him, we touched him, we handled him with our hands, we hugged him, we shook hands with him, we touched him, we saw him with our eyes, we heard him with our ears. Then he says in verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life. Do you catch this? What is eternal life? It's not a series of things that we're supposed to do. It's a person. We have manifested to you the life. And the life is this Jesus. And we have manifested to you this life so that you can claim eternal life because of this one, this man named Jesus, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy can be made complete. We make known to you what we saw, what we heard, what we touched. We make known to you the word of life. this Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, this Jesus. We make that known to you so that you can have fellowship with us. You can be in agreement with us, the apostles. You can say what we say. You can understand what we understood. You can hear what we heard. You can, through our eyes, see what we saw. So that you can be in agreement with us. And you need to know that if you're in agreement with us, our agreement and fellowship is with God Himself. And if you're in agreement with us, then you're in agreement with God. And you are in fellowship with God. How do you know you're saved? Do you know Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? It's probably the more accurate way to say that. Do you know who He is? Do you know who He was before you came here? Do you know who He was while He was here? Do you know what He did? Do you know what He said? There's some reading required. And if not reading, there's some listening required. Do you know Jesus? That's the first question. The second one is this one. 1 John chapter 2, we'll start with verses 3 and read through verse 6. Then we're going to drop down to verse 9 through 11. Verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Look at that. John says, I've written this. In John chapter 5, he says, I've written this so that you can know that you have eternal life. But now in verse 3, he says, we know that we know. There is assurance. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and he does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Do you see this? You know that you know Him, and you know that you abide in Him if you keep His commandments. That's not doing whatever I think He will accept. That's not doing whatever I think He would be happy with. It's not doing what everybody else tells me He would be happy with. It's doing what He said. Do I know what He said? Do I know what He's spoken? And then when He comes down to verse 6, we'll come back to this a little later. It sums it all up by, if you keep His commandments, you become like Him. And in verse 6, the one who says he abides in Him should be walking in the same way Jesus walked. He should be striving to live in that same way. Do you know what Jesus said? Look at verses 9 through 11. The one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. How are you with your brothers and sisters in Christ? How are you with other people? You remember going all the way back to the Old Testament. What are the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So why did Jesus, the Word, become flesh and come into this world? Because He loved God. And He came to do the will of God. He came to do what God would have Him to do. So why did Jesus come into this world? Because He loves you and me. And He came into this world to pay the price for all the sins that we have committed. He came because He loved us. So if we walk in His commandments, and if we walk like Him, we will love God. We will love what God wants us to become. We will love each other. And if we do not love each other, then we cannot be walking like Christ. And we cannot be walking as God would have us to walk. Do you see the church? Do you see the church in this? Is it now not any wonder why Jesus built his church? And why we are to be a part of this body? And we are to work together in order to build up this body and help each other be what God would have us to be and help each other get to heaven and strengthen each other and support each other. We are to be a part of this body that belongs to Jesus and to love and serve them in loving and serving Jesus. Do you know what Jesus says? Have you read his commandments? Not what you think. Not what you're told, but what does he say? Have you been baptized into Jesus? Do you know that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? So have you done what Jesus instructs? Do you love the brothers and sisters? Do you love those that belong to Christ? Are you saved? Do you know who Jesus is? Are you listening to him? Are you listening to the things that he says for us to do? And then again, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Read this one with me. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 2. Chapter 1, starting with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that confusing? Because if you read verse 5 and 6, what does it say? If you abide in Christ, you walk in the light. And in the light, there's no darkness at all. And so if you abide in Christ, you're walking in the light. Then why verse 7? Why in verse 7? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what? Why would the blood of Jesus need to cleanse us from all sins? Why would the blood of Jesus need to be continually cleansing us from all continuing sins? If we walk in the light where there is no darkness at all. Why is that the case? Well, maybe we're misunderstanding what is said and the instruction that is given to us. And maybe the bottom line, simple aspect of it is, if we walk in the light, we won't continue to live a life of sin. Which is exactly what John said. It doesn't mean we're not going to sin. But there's a reason for it. We'll get to it in just a second. 1 John 1, 5 through 7, there's a more important question, and that the question is, do you know the source of light? If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have eternal life. What's the source of light? Is it my own thoughts? My own ideas? Is it majority rules, whatever the majority wants? Is it what we've always heard? What is the source of light? Go to Luke, 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. And I want you to follow along with me the reading. We're going to start in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And I want you to notice what is said here that's so very important for us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What does that mean? Don't believe every idea. Don't believe every thought. Don't believe every principle. Don't believe everything you read. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything that comes to your mind. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. How do we do that? He's about to get there. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Now, he's going to talk about a specific false doctrine that was taught at his time that continues to be taught today. Then he's going to get more general. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you've heard that it's coming and it's already here. John was dealing with it in his day, so was Paul. And we still are. That Jesus is not the Son of God, and Jesus, the Son of God, did not come here. Verse 4, he goes a little broader. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They, those false teachers, are from the world. They are not giving heaven's message. They are giving the message of the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. It's all the things that you hear in the world, and everybody's in agreement with it, and everybody looks at you as if you're an absolute fool if you don't believe it and accept it. But you're not listening to the world. Those false teachers are the ones listening to the world. He goes on. We, who's we? Those apostles. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do I know if what I'm hearing is true or not? Is it in agreement with what Scripture says? How do I know that what I'm hearing and what I'm convincing myself of is right? Is it from Scripture? Is it what Scripture says? That's the source of light. And the one that walks in light is the one who pleases God. So, do you know the source of light? Do you strive to live the new life? Do you know what that is? The life of the born-again Christian. The life of the new creature. The life of the person who belongs to Jesus. We've already looked at it. It's in chapter 2 and verse 6. To live like him. That's the life of the person in Christ. How do you know you're saved? I know Jesus. I trust him. I know what he says. I know what he said to do. I've been baptized into him. And I believe him and I'm striving to walk like him. I know the source of light. It's outside of me. It's not inside of me. It's not inside of my heart. It's not inside of my mind. It's not inside of my spirit. It's outside of me. So I can always check myself in that source of light. Is God's word. That source of light is Scripture. And I strive to be like him. But we raised a question a minute ago. We need to answer it now. If I'm walking in the light, then what need do I have of forgiveness? Because I know I sin. And I sin on a regular basis. So that brings us to the last one. The book of 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 8. And we'll read down through chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Bible will tell us this. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. So what if I look at my life and I see sin there? Then I'm being honest with me. What if I look at my life and I realize there is sin there? Then what do I do? And how do I react? Look at this. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So when I walk in the light and I realize from that light what I have just done is not right, or I realize that what I have just thought or what I have just planned or what I have just said is not right with God, what do I do then? I acknowledge it to Him. And if possible, to the person that I may have sinned against. But I acknowledge it to Him. So what am I doing? I'm allowing the light to be my corrector. I'm allowing the light of His Word to be my guide. I'm allowing the light of His Word to change me, to correct me, and to direct me in a different way of going. But I'm going to continue to do things. But as long as I walk in that light, I'll continue to have my corrector, my guide, and the direction in which God wants me to go. And I know I'm saved. And I know I'm forgiven. And I know I have God's hope of eternal life. And that's why John wrote this book. So you can know that you know. Bottom line is, what's controlling your life? Is it Jesus and what He wants? Or is it myself and what I want? What is it that's controlling me? That is when we begin to live as a Christian. We begin to live as God would have us to live. When we allow our Lord to direct our lives. Are you in Christ? Do you need to be baptized into Him? Or do you need to come home to Him? We offer you His invitation as together we stand and as we sing.